Holy One, may your story inspire us. May your story inspire the words I speak and inspire others because of them or in spite of them. Amen. So, we just heard one of the most spectacular passages in all of the Old Testament. It's a chapter that tells the miraculous story of the aging prophet Elijah and his servant Elisha. When we pick up the story, God has informed Elijah that his ministry on earth is over. Now he is to cross the Jordan River and go to a place that God has told him to go. And there's a refrain to this story you may have heard, and it runs all the way through the books of Kings. As God lives and as you live, I will go with you. In earlier passages, it also sometimes comes from God, as I live and as you live, I will never forsake you. The name Elijah actually means God lives. Elijah and his friend, servant, adopted son, Elisha, live in a land of violence. Faith has been twisted, and the people who had once followed the God Yahweh have taken up the religion of the people around him. They worship Baal, and the worship of Baal requires blood sacrifice and the sacrifice of children. Throughout this land, Elijah has gone prophesying for the Lord God Yahweh, calling the people back to the God of their ancestors. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, a prophet is a person who speaks truth to power. Traditionally, prophets called on kings and queens and the powerful and the rich to three things. First, return to the worship of Yahweh. Now, that's not just about going to temple on Saturday or Friday night or Sunday morning. It's a call back to the laws of living that were given to Moses, remembering that the land is God's and that they are God's people, that God is not there just to act as their servant, to supply their desire for power or wealth through the sacrifice of others. God is there to lead and to guide in righteousness. We get a bit bent out of shape around that term righteousness, partly because we've so often been accused of being self-righteous. But in case that word isn't enough, the second important thing that the prophets always say is to describe it. They call on the powerful to care for others, never to forget the hungry and the widows and the orphans, to be kind to strangers in the land, and to act as wise and just judges over the people. That's part of the refrain in all of the stories of all of the prophets. Another part of that is that the great and the powerful hate being told this. They hate the prophet who calls them to remember the poor, the hungry, the widows and the orphans. They hate the prophet who calls on them for justice. Quite often, they try to kill the prophet. And the third prophecy present in all of the stories of the prophets is that if you don't pay attention to the first two, bad things are going to happen. So in this last story of Elijah, though the focus is on something else, the focus is on the power of God and the passing of the mantle of prophecy to the next generation. So when God calls Elijah home, Elijah sets out on a journey, and at each step he tells Elisha, "Stay here, stay behind, do your work in this place. You don't have to go on this journey with me." And at first glance, that sounds like Elijah telling Elisha that he can rest here. But in each of the places where Elijah says, "Stay here," each of these is a town where people are cruel. The God of compassion is not worshipped. The people are left to starve and children are sacrificed on an altar to false gods. And each time Elisha says, "As God lives and as I live, I will go with you." After visiting several towns, they arrive at the bank of the Jordan River, and Elijah took off his mantle, a wide, loose-fitting garment, and he struck the water with it. And the waters parted, and the two men crossed over on dry ground. And when they reached the other side, Elijah turned to his servant and said, "Ask for what you want. What shall I do for you before I'm taken away?" And the young man answers, "I pray, let a double portion of your spirit fall on me." And Elijah says, "You've asked a hard thing." And that's often, sometimes that's interpreted because of the way the language works, as it's not in my power to give you that. And sometimes it's interpreted as, "You've asked for a hard life." But he answers, "Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not." And suddenly a chariot appeared out of the heaven and separated the men. And in a flash, Elijah was taken up in the chariot. And Elisha witnessed the whole scene, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen." And then he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two. This is one of those scenes that is really a painting in words. It's by the banks of the great river where Elijah and Elisha had walked across on dry ground. The other thing to remember about the River Jordan is one theologian calls it the holodeck. You know, Star Trek, the holodeck? When you step into the Jordan River or across the Jordan River, strange things happen. So you're at the banks of the Jordan River, and they've been split in two, just the way Moses did. And a great fiery chariot comes in the sky, rolling on the clouds, and Elijah is taken up in the midst of the whirlwind. They've come close to the face of God, as Moses did. But the fiery chariot is a very interesting symbol because at that time, the great engine of war was the chariot. People were moving into the Iron Age, and iron-wheeled chariots are the powerhouses of warfare. And the symbol of the god Baal is the chariot, for he's the one who should control the engines of war. And nevertheless, it's Yahweh that sends this symbol, not as an engine of war, but as a symbol of prophecy. Elijah was gone, but his mantle had dropped to the ground. And when Elisha saw it, he tore his own clothes, and he put Elijah's mantle on his back. And if you've ever heard that phrase, assuming the mantle, this is where it comes from. And then he returned to the Jordan, and he took off the mantle, and he struck the water with it, and the waters parted. And Elisha walked over on dry ground. And so began his ministry. But the mantle of prophecy has moved not to one man, but to a new generation. If you read the stories of Elisha, you find he's not the same prophet as Elijah. Elisha speaks to a new generation in a different voice. Elijah was an angry and fiery prophet, the one needed for his time. Elisha is a gentle prophet, the right prophet for a new age. With the mantle of Elijah, the tradition of Elijah, but with new vision, Elisha returns to the cities that scorned him before. They still scorn him, but now he's ready, and he takes up the ministry to a people who've lost their way. The mantle of the prophet passes to another generation. Many generations later, after Israel and Judah had gone through trials and misfortunes, when the people once again turned from righteousness, came the great prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah. But after that period, the Jewish people believed the time of prophecy was over. Jesus was born into a land with just as much need for prophets, but a time when people believed that prophecy had come to an end. We, the Christian descendants, we use other names for Jesus the Christ. We say Son of God or Wisdom on Earth. But the first names people used for Jesus were about prophecy, they called him teacher, and they called him prophet. The transfiguration story we tell has Jesus speaking to Elijah and Moses, the greatest prophets of the old. Our world needs prophecy, not as if we can predict the future, but the original sense of prophecy. We need to speak truth to power, to call the powerful to the worship of a compassionate God, to remind the powerful, and sometimes we are the powerful, of what righteousness is, to remember the poor, to feed the widows and orphans, to render just judgment in the world, to speak for the prisoners and those who flee persecution, to see God as our guide and our way, not our property, not a means to political or temporal power. Every generation is called to prophecy in their generation, in new ways, in new places. And at each place we're asked, will you stay or will you follow? And we can answer, as God lives and as I live, I will go with you. And God will answer, as I live and as you live, I will never forsake you. The story of the fiery chariot is like that refrain, a means to memory. It's like the song we sang earlier, and trust me, you'll find it running through your head these next days. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. These are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still, we are the voice in the desert. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. May that be so. Amen.